Look what Paul said about this, 1 Corinthians 12:11. He said, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Whatever the gift is in your life, the Holy Spirit gave it to you. He willed it. He selected you to do something in the body of Christ.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we're starting a new message titled, Missions Launched. This is chapter 11 on the series called Acts, When God Gets Loose. This is sure to be a life-changing study, so stay tuned. Now here's Pastor Jeff.
The early church always had their eyes peeled on their unreached and hurting world. You know, the day the church quits reaching the lost is the day the church becomes irrelevant. When we look at how the early church constantly sent missionaries into the lost world, it's easy to understand how they were called, quote, these who have turned the world upside down. As we look today at the early church's zeal for lost souls, I pray to light an evangelistic fire in our own hearts to never forget the fields of lost souls that are white for harvest. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, Missions Launched. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord, do you catch that? As they ministered to who? Now, I'm ministering to you, but you can also minister to the Lord. How do you do it? You worship him, adore him, love on him. So they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, church, pay close attention. Who did the sending? Who did the selecting, the calling, and the sending? It was not done by the will of men, was it? It was the choosing and the leading of who? The Holy Spirit. It just moves me because people talk about the Holy Spirit being an it or a force or a thing or some nebulous, you know, wind out there. But notice, separate to me, the Spirit said, the work to which I, said the Spirit, have called them. Powerful. Holy Spirit is a personality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now here's the principle. All true ministry is birthed by the Spirit. I'm going to say that again. All true ministry. If it's genuine, it was birthed by the Holy Spirit. Let me put it another way. Full-time ministry is not a career choice. Like being a CPA, a lawyer, a doctor, you know, ministry is not a career choice. Ministry is when God reaches down, lays his hand on somebody, and irrevocably, irrefutably, irresistibly calls them. And once he does that, you don't hold on to the calling of God. The calling of God holds on to you. So look what Paul said about this, 1 Corinthians 12:11. He said, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Whatever the gift is in your life, the Holy Spirit gave it to you. He willed it. It was his will to give it to you. He selected you to do something in the body of Christ. Each one. Didn't say some. It said each one. Each child of God has been gifted by the Holy Spirit to do something in the body of Christ. And life really begins when you plug into that and start doing it. Now, verse 4, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their assistant. Now, the John mentioned here is not the aged Apostle John who wrote the Revelation and the Gospel of John, but it's John Mark. The same Mark who wrote the first of the four Gospels bearing his name, the Gospel according to Mark. Mark was the first Gospel written. The others came later. So that's the John here. Now the word assistant, notice it says they also had John Mark as their assistant. Really interesting Greek word here. It's a nautical word, literally meaning a rower on a ship. You know, we've seen them down in those sort of slave galleys and they've got hold of the oar and their chain and they're rowing. And it's letting us know that John Mark was in a subservient position at this time, learning servanthood, the servanthood that Jesus so clearly taught. I don't even know if he suspected that one day he would write the great gospel of Mark. You never know what God's going to do with somebody. You never know. Some of you, God's going to use you in a way, if you could see it right now, you'd faint. He's got his hand on you in a way you don't know. You're not aware of it. Verse 6. Now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. A sorcerer. A false prophet. A Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus. An intelligent man. Not the sorcerer, the proconsul, the governor. This man called for Barnabas and Saul, that is the governor, and sought to hear the word of God, the one who he called intelligent. The intelligent man wanted to hear the word of God. Let it never be said, if you're going to become a believer in Jesus Christ, you must commit intellectual suicide. An intelligent man wanted to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man called for Barnabas and Saul, sought to hear the word of God, but Elymas, another name for the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the governor away from the faith. That's what the devil always does. The devil's not out to give you a flat tire. He's not out to make something go bump in the night. Let me tell you what he's after. Your faith. He's after your faith. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to water down your zeal. He's after your faith. That's his real target in your life and mine. So that's why I'm always teaching you the word of God, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now, he's trying to turn this governor away from the faith and away from hearing the word of God. Always, always, always when God is moving, the devil will attack. Usually through an individual who either knows or is an unwitting tool of the devil. He knows he's being used or he doesn't have any idea he's being used by the devil. But either way, the devil will move on somebody who has no discernment. And they are used to attack. Amen. What happened in verse 9? It's about to get real here. Then Saul, who also was called Paul. Now make a little mark in your Bible. That's the first time Saul is called Paul. And he will always be called Paul after this. His Saul name is gone right here in verse 9. Amen. Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, oh, I love this. It gives me Holy Ghost bumps because he's full of God. He looks at this demon-possessed, demonized man, and he says, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil. Amen. I don't think he's being very politically correct here. But he doesn't stop there. You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking somebody to lead him by the hand. And how many times have I wished I could do that? No, at least a few times. Don't you wish that, well, let me put it this way. Paul talking to this man this way was in the Holy Spirit. Folks, there is something called righteous anger, and it's not sinful. Can I put it another way? God didn't call you to be nice. You know what nice is doing to the church? Nice is killing the church. There's so many men walking around, I mean, wimpy Christian men who are just nice. Gentlemen, nice. I don't want to offend. I don't want to cause problems. I don't want to stir up any trouble. I'm a nice guy. What we want is truthful people who speak the truth in love, but are not afraid to say it. I mean, everybody say to me, Paul wasn't being nice here. He was being truthful. I got to say it. You son of the devil. Can you imagine saying that to somebody? It just makes me feel good just reading it. But look what happened to this man who was turning the governor away from the faith. A mist fell over his eyes. He went blind. He said, somebody lead me around. I can't see. It didn't last, but it lasted long enough to let him know, you do not get in the way of the move of God. This is the second occult practitioner the apostles have encountered. The first being Simon the sorcerer. Remember, Peter rebuked Simon while Paul spoke judgment over Elymas. Each time, the power of God was overwhelmingly greater than the power of Satan. There is no power greater than the name of Jesus, and no power greater than the moving of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, the governor's watching all this, and look what had happened. Then the proconsul, the governor, believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. So he heard the teaching of Paul and saw this power that fell upon this sorcerer and blinded him. We don't know what happened to Elymas, but I wouldn't be completely surprised to find out that when the mist lifted and he could see again, he saw with different eyes. Now, verse 13. Now, when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So they parted ways with John Mark. This was not the bad parting of ways we read about later. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, Paul was always going to the synagogue. And notice, Paul always went to church on the Sabbath. Even when he was traveling, he went to church. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, which is all they had, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them saying, men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Well, you don't tell a preacher that. Because he's going to say on. Now, I want to fill you in quickly here. Paul, remember, was from Antioch. So he now finds himself in a very familiar neighborhood. Yet now, Paul, not Saul, Paul, enters the synagogue. Not as a stellar Pharisee, but as a red-hot, born-again Christian missionary afraid of no man. And he commences to preach the gospel. It's such a good message. I'm just going to read it. Then Paul stood up, motioning with his hand, said, men of Israel and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers, exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out. Now, I want you to say with me, he always brings you out to bring you in. He never brings you out to just stand there. He brings you out of something to bring you into something. He brought them out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land. Now, for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years. So that's how long the book of Judges covers, 4.5 centuries. Until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Look at verse 23. Here's the Davidic covenant. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, that touches me. Because how did John's life end? By preaching truth to a politician, didn't it? He said, you're not supposed to have your brother's wife. You're in adultery. And they took his head off for it. But he had finished his course. None of you want to slip into eternity without it being able to be said of you, they finished their course. I have fought a good fight, said Paul. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Now, so he finished his course. He said, before he was gone, John said, who do you think I am? I'm not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. I'm not worthy to undo Jesus' sandals. Men and brethren, verse 26 says, Paul now, sons of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. The Jews fulfilled the prophecies of the prophets, who they heard preached every Sunday. Can you imagine that? Every Sunday they're hearing the prophets preached, predicting the arrival of the Messiah. They hear it every week, but when the Messiah showed up, instead of receiving him, they took him, condemned him, whipped him, beat him, murdered him. Goes to show you can hear the word every week and be untouched. That's why Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. Because just because you're sitting in a church chair doesn't mean you're getting it. Now, it says, and they found no cause for death in him. They asked Pilate that he should be put to death, though there was no cause to do it. Now, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. Read verse 30 with me, everybody. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen for many days after he was resurrected by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. Verse 32, and we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Verse 34, and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, quote, he's quoting now one of the prophets, I will give you the sure mercies of David. This is Isaiah, I believe. And then verse 35, therefore he says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Jesus was not allowed to decay in the tomb. Verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. I'm going to stop here and make a brief comment. This is my verse, verse 36. This is what I want my life to be. So I'm going to put my name, and I want you to put your name in here. For Jeff, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption, but it doesn't stop there, because I'll be raised if I'm not there for the rapture. But here's what you want said about you, that you serve your generation by the will of God. And only then, when you were finished, your course was finished, did you fall asleep. I don't care what you do in life. If you make $1 billion and become famous, a household word, if you drip with charisma and you've got so much talent, it could be distributed to 20 people. If you can sing the paint off the wall and preach the roof off a church, I don't care. Listen, you can be a genius at business. I don't care about any of those things. Listen, if you don't do the will of God for your life and serve your generation in that will, you failed. You're a failure. Sin means to miss the mark. That's what sin will cause you to do. Miss the mark. The bullseye. So I can be living in a little shack with nothing in the bank on the other side of the tracks. Amen. But if I'm doing the will of God and serving my generation, I'm better off than a man in a mansion with satin sheets he sleeps in at night, with the whole world seemingly at his grasp. I don't care. The one who does the will of God is the winner, not the one who dies with the most toys. The world doesn't define success correctly. The Bible does. And here's success. David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. He was a success. Verse 37, but he whom God raised up, that is Jesus, saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You will never be justified by good works. Amen. You will be justified by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Verse 40, beware therefore. Now he's got a warning for them. Beware therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. And that's what the prophet said. So he said to the Jews in church that day, he said, don't you guys and gals, don't you miss Jesus. Don't be a despiser. So his message, this verse 41, is a quote from Habakkuk. He closes out with a quote from Habakkuk, and he also quoted the prophet Isaiah. Habakkuk, just so give you a little history here, warned the people of his day of the impending Babylonian invasion, as did Jeremiah and several others of the minor prophets. They warned the people of God over and over for decades, if you don't repent, the Babylonians are going to invade and you're going to lose everything. They didn't listen. Isaiah warned the people of his day of the impending Assyrian invasion, and they did not listen. And do you know that when the Assyrians invaded Israel, the northern tribes, they never returned. They were dispersed forever, destroyed. And Isaiah had warned them, but they didn't listen. Now here's Paul's point. He said, Habakkuk warned you, Jeremiah warned you, Isaiah warned you. And he said, now I'm in the new covenant. I'm standing here in this synagogue and I'm warning you today. Do you know that the horrific Roman invasion of Jerusalem was only a decade or so away? Paul is bringing this message about 60 AD, and 10 years later, 70 AD, the horrific fall of Jerusalem, the invasion of Jerusalem by the Romans happened. And over a million Jews, folks, stop and think with me a minute. Over a million Jews were slaughtered. They were starved to death within their city walls. Titus stopped all food from getting to them. They consumed their own young. It was to this people, the Jews, that Jesus looked at the city and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come to me. Amen. Now, what was he doing? He was talking to people who 40 years from the moment he said that would be utterly annihilated and dispersed to the four corners of the world. He said to them, those people, he said, you better pray that the invasion doesn't come in wintertime, because it's going to make it a lot harder for you to get out of Dodge in the winter. And you better pray that you are not great with child, lady, because Jesus knew. He said, I'm telling you, when you see the city surrounded by an army, I'm going to open a window for you to escape and flee to the hills. And the window is my word of warning to you. So he said, when you see the city surrounded by an army, know that the end is near. He wasn't talking about the end of time. He was talking about the end of Jerusalem. He said, remember what I said. As soon as you see that army surrounding and you know that the invasion is imminent, get out. Don't stay in Jerusalem. It's not a place of safety. It's a place of death. Get out. And do you know that history lets us know that many believing Jews and Gentiles who remembered what Jesus said fled to the hills of Petra and avoided the horrible, terrible slaughter. The word of the Lord will save you. Amen. The word of Jesus saved those people. Yes. Boy, if Jesus warns you about something, you better listen. Amen. Listen up. Yes. Now, I didn't mean to go into all of that, but this made me think of it, because Paul is now warning them 10 years before the fall of Jerusalem. Don't be a despiser. You better wake up and receive Messiah and get in the game, because you don't have but a decade left. Got it? Now, Paul's preaching has opened a great hunger in the hearts of the Gentiles that were present. And revival's about to burst forth. Look at verse 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They said, we got to hear more. You know, you've done a good job if the folks want more.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for the continuation of this message, Missions Launched, in this series called Acts, When God Gets Loose. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until next time, God bless.